Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, the focus of our message tonight is on Psalm 51, verse 6. Since you desire truth on the inside, in my hidden heart, you teach me wisdom. Have you ever heard the expression, maybe even used the expression, or had the expression directed at you? Look, just be honest with yourself. Now, it seems like kind of a ridiculous statement, doesn't it? I mean, if anybody knows what you are truly thinking and feeling, it's you, right? And yet, just be honest with yourself is one of those challenging things, right? I mean, look no further than the mirror, right? Oh yeah, still got it. Or how about a little tight, but still look good. Yeah, it must be the light. That's the problem. I mean, and that's just the surfacey stuff, right? We could talk for hours on the impact of what therapists call the things we tell ourselves, right? The things that we tell ourselves, whether they're true or false, or real or delusional, or bad or good, it all has an impact on how we act, how we react, what we do, the decisions we make, how we move forward, the things that we tell ourselves. You just need to be honest with yourself. Easy. Right? Maybe not so much. You know, as we look at Psalm 51 here through these weeks of Lent and even into Holy Week here at New Life, the good Lord, through King David, is taking us on this journey, this treatise on repentance, just what it means. We've been led to realize our need for repentance, to recognize against whom we've sinned. We've had our sinful nature revealed for what it truly is. We've been blessed with an understanding of just what guilt has been lifted from us through Christ our Savior. And in taking this journey of repentance, we find growth in God's grace. Remembering why we need Jesus so badly, even as we appreciate that sweet message of forgiveness and grace that is ours in Christ. And what David does tonight in verse 6 is, with this new life that we have in Christ, he gives us a whole renewed direction as we move forward. And it all starts with him saying, you, Lord, desire truth on the inside. I think one of the biggest lies, or maybe the most common lies we tell ourselves, I'm fine. Whether by experience or fact, we tell ourselves this, and we tell ourselves it enough that oftentimes we begin to believe it. It's not exactly being honest with ourselves, right? I'm sure you've all heard that story about the cardiologist, the heart doctor that was the picture of health, very little body fat. Worked out all the time, did triathlons, even never smoked, rarely drank, took care of himself, and yet one day while he was out jogging, he dropped dead of a heart attack, dead before he hit the ground. We've all heard that one, right? I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's certainly something we like to tell ourselves when we say to ourselves, it doesn't really matter what I eat or what I drink or how I take care of myself. I mean, if I got a bad ticker, there's nothing I can do about it. So I might as well just live, right? Whether it is true or not, whether we're trying to convince ourselves of something or not, the truth is that you could do everything that you possibly could, and if you still have a bad heart, there's nothing you can do about it. If you think about that spiritually, we call it original sin. It's a heart condition that we inherit. We are, by very nature, sinful, a condition for which we deserve only God's wrath and punishment. And certainly today, tonight, as we look at Psalm 51, verse 6, I mean, we remember that there is original sin. We are spiritually like that cardiologist, with a heart condition. I mean, even if we know the right things to do, even if we try really hard to perform these things in life, we still have sinful hearts by nature, which means that we can't live sinlessly in this world. And we regularly, daily, sometimes constantly even, fall short of God's perfect demands. That's the truth about our insides. That spiritually, by nature, we have bad hearts. And oh, we're awfully good at rationalizing our sin, projecting lower expectations on God in some vain attempt to try to actually live up to them. You know, if you lower God's expectations enough, then hey, I'm actually doing pretty well. Or at least I'm doing better than that guy. Yet these are the things that we tell ourselves, huh? To try to help us get through the day, to try to help us sleep at night, to try to not have to confront the very truth that we have a heart condition. A heart condition that shows itself from day to day in everything that we think, do, or say. We have sinful hearts. Nothing changes the Almighty God, his demand of perfect obedience. After all, for the sake of time and eternity, he needs to be who he is. We have sinful hearts that fall short. Be honest with yourself, you are who you are by nature. So what can be done? To quote Jane Austen, seems a hopeless business. And yet, there is hope. Because your Heavenly Father would never leave you without hope. He inspired King David to give us the answer that we so desperately need. He says, since you desire truth on the inside, in my hidden heart, you teach me wisdom. Wisdom that understands the complete difference between our sinfulness and God's perfect demands. Wisdom that understands the totality of our sin and the totality of the wrath of God. Wisdom that comes before the Lord in fear of that wrath, in the helplessness of our own powerlessness, we plead for mercy. And I know that doesn't actually make a lot of sense, does it? It doesn't seem wise. I mean, if we are so sinful, if we are so horrible and God is so perfect, and if I am so guilty and God is so wrathful against sin, why in the world would I turn to him and seek his forgiveness? But that's the godly wisdom of repentance. The forgiveness of sins that stands contrary to worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom is found in Christ Jesus, who died in our place as the very innocence and perfection and holiness of sacrifice that we could never provide. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Godly wisdom that centers on Christ Jesus. Because it is there that Jesus is revealing the mercy of God by revealing his perfection, by giving you that perfection, fulfilling the very demand that God had for you. He did this to set you free from the guilt of your sin. He completed his work of redemption with his innocent life and sacrificial death on the cross. And then he proved his victory over it all by powerfully demonstrating his power over sin and death itself, satisfying the Father's justice. Because in Jesus, where the world sees weakness, we see the power of God. In Jesus, where the world sees foolishness, we see the wisdom of God. In Jesus, where the world sees quaint morality, we see the holiness of God. And in Jesus, where the world sees myth, legend, we see everything we need. The way, the truth, and the life. Wisdom personified, given for you. So let's be honest with ourselves. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves spiritually heart healthy. There's nothing we can do to lower God's expectations that we might be able to somehow obey him perfectly. Yet by his grace, Jesus has made us perfect in God's sight. He's given us healthy, perfect hearts of faith. And with those healthy, perfect hearts of faith, we worship him and live for him until we one day live with him in the life to come forever. This is truth. This is wisdom hidden in your heart by grace through faith in Christ alone. Amen.